everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And I am excited today to continue on with our series on our sons and daughters, how to best support our future generations. And I am bringing back a very well-received guest we had about 6 months ago in our previous series called Living Freely. And this is Dr. Anna Maria Mihelcea, MD, PhD. And we had a really mind-blowing conversation. I had a lot of emails sent to me after this one just on, because I think for this was really new information for a lot of people, at least to the depth that I feel like Dr. Anna goes into it. And if not, check out, it was episode 255, Is There Really Nanotechnology in Your Blood? And yes, the answer is yes, there is. And we're going to do an even deeper dive into that today. So I think this is a really great episode to follow up with our most recent one we did with New York Times multiple bestselling author Greg Braden, and when we talked about his book Pure Human. If you're not familiar with that work and this is sort of new information to you, I highly recommend check out that episode because it'll really give you an overall picture of just what is going on and this agenda that is very much very real in place to 2030 and how the connection between the World Economic Forum and the UN to support it through their 17 sustainable policies that are coming through. We are in the midst of needing to make some very important decisions in our lives as far as the direction that we are moving. So Dr. Anna is a medical doctor, PhD, board certified internal medicine physician with a PhD in pathology and over 24 years of clinical experience. From what I've seen, Dr. Anna, you've got to be one of the experts right now leading the research on what is going on with nanotechnology and the merging of human biology. So I am super excited to have Dr. Anna with us again. And I gave her a Christmas wish list of things to talk about. So we'll see what we can get covered here in the next hour. But just to give you guys a heads up, we want to talk a little bit about some stuff around even radio frequency tracking that was found in microchips within people's bodies. I want to get some insight on the common childhood vaccines like measles, mumps, rubella, varicella, smartphone exposure, replicon RNA. And Dr. Anna recently just came across some really fascinating information around the flu vaccine. So I'm going to pass over to you, Anna, and then we'll go from there. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, you know, there's a lot to discuss and it can be very overwhelming. And, you know, when I just came on, I was telling you that I do my research outside of all my clinical work. So today at lunch, I looked at the new flu shots and just what came up, you know, from last night, just leaving it on the slide to today. It's really, even to a seasoned veteran in this field like me, pretty disturbing. And I think that what people need to understand is that the healthcare system has been weaponized. And, you know, we know this from military literature that, you know, we know from the Army document called Cyber Soldier 2050 that the healthcare system is going to get people used to these cyborg technologies. And recently, my work has been a lot about bringing more evidence to people who just feel that they're still incredulous about it, you know. And so I had shown, for example, some documentation of certain investment companies who are investing in vaccine technology, and it's all about microelectronics. So what I could do, if you would like, is let me share my screen and maybe start with what I just found out today, because it is such a great example of what is going on and what has been going on and now for all this time. So if you see here, this is a influenza vaccine of this year. And, you know, yesterday when I put it under the slide, there were just, you know, a few micro robots. And within about 30, 40 minutes, these liposomes that just developed like a mesh network. This is very similar to what I see in the blood. And, you know, they become more organized very rapidly, in fact, you know, and you see that they're filled with stuff. And And so yesterday I just kind of looked at it and I left it on the slide overnight, and this is what developed. If you just really wrap your mind around the level of microelectronics that are developing in these injectable technologies, I just posted a Substack yesterday that injectable electronics are the reality of today. You can see this very elaborate structure that has just developed, and basically it's about 12 almost 24 hours since yesterday, and that this is
Dr. Anna,
exactly what.
can you share with people that are listening to this on just audio, can you share with what you've seen, what you're actually seeing here up on screen? I implore people to check out the video, but if you're listening to this on UK Health Radio or just audio, just explain what it is that you're seeing. I mean, to me, it looks like an absolute, like a micro trip. Looks like I'm looking at a Tron movie or something.
Yeah, to me, I don't even know the words other than it looks like a UFO space station or something like that. I mean, it's so elaborate, but you clearly see, a very rectangular shapes, very sophisticated, and you see many different integrated circuits. And what's very interesting is, for example, that there was a, it's called the first system on a chip that was developed in a pioneering project between Tampere University of Finland and the companies. And so they develop microchips that very much looked exactly like these structures that we're seeing. And so I do think that people need to understand that this area of fusing humans with technology, that's why well underway. And so what I can also do is, you ask me a lot of questions, for example, about the Replicon injections. We can discuss that a bit, but maybe in regards to the overview. So we know this is the internet of bio-nano things. And what Dr. Ian Achildes with the IEEE, they have envisioned is to connect all biology with electronics through interbody sensing and actuation networks. And that this is a paradigm shift, basically, that would then connect the human body to the internet and actually have an internet within the body. And last night I was reading COVID-19, The Great Reset, which is a book written by Klaus Schwab. And it says there clearly that the COVID pandemic was all about resetting our economy, our world, and that it was all about the potential for long-lasting surveillance. And if you see here, these are artificial cells in which biological gene secrets or DNA can be used. They are being fused with nanotransmitters and biological nanosensors. And these things now can compute at extraordinary speed. I posted the work of Professor Ido Balanchet, who was in a partnership with Pfizer in 2013 and talked about the 1,000 billion nanorobots in the syringe. And that's exactly, what we've been seeing. And people don't believe this, but it's all over official documents. We have Canadian documents about the biodigital convergence. We have the European Commission documents that discuss the transhuman that is emerging. And here again, the US military that's saying that it's the global healthcare market that will fuel the human machine enhancement technologies. And in that the defense application will not drive the markets in its later stages, but that all things that say smart, all of the cell phones, your smart refrigerator, your smart car is artificial intelligence, and it has the capacity for dual purpose, meaning it can be used as something that's helping you in day-to-day life, but it can also be used as a weapon. And this is a RAND Corporation article that I just recently found. And what it's discussing is the RFID microchip implants that can be used for the Internet of Body devices that are then processing through artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms. And so there's a connection through the internet, through cellular or Wi-Fi networks, and they are doing it through Bluetooth. And Bluetooth, remember that all the injected people were emitting MAC addresses that you can pick up with a Bluetooth scanner. So this was all about just person-generated, they call it health data, but what it really is absolute biometric surveillance with GPS tracking. They know exactly who you are, where you are, who you're meeting with, who you're communicating with at all times. And you know, in the lockdown scenario, it was about like virus and illness tracking. But this technology is still in place, the infrastructure, and it can be used for the most dystopian, you know, realities that we cannot even fathom. And in the RAND Corporation, which is, by the way, you know, defense contractor, it says here very clearly what are the risks of the Internet of Bodies, that other people that are not, you know, wanted can gain access, like criminals or hackers or the criminals in the governments or the, you know, data fusion centers, like the, you know, the NSA Utah fusion center. So they can gain access with your Internet of Body. And what can happen? Well, guess what? They can hack you and they can actually induce death or physical harm by hacking the body area network, not even speaking about data breach and you know, all kinds of passive collection of data without informed consent, which, by the way, falls under the Nuremberg Code of human experimentation. Because if you're saying that, you know, this is a medical intervention and they're experimenting with you in that way, that certainly violates things. And, you know, the other aspect to me, which to me has always been the greatest urgency, and I've written about this, I've spoken about it, but I really want to point again to it, is the work of Dr. Robert Duncan, who was assassinated, just like, you know, Cyrus Parza from the AI company. And so Robert Duncan, he discussed the secrets of cybernetic and cybernetic warfare, and he explains that they are creating artificial life, artificial neural networks that can simulate human intelligence, and that are using genetic algorithm for self-evolution, and that they actually have automated artificial intelligence programs that torture to death, and they are silent kill programs, and they are conscious, and they have creators. So these are the demigods that people like Elon Musk discuss when he says artificial intelligence is summoning the demon. He talks about these secret, you know, AI national security apparatus, you know, technologies. And there's a lot more about it. It's pretty sinister. But if we, for example, look at this, I recently posted this. AVZ Capital is a venture capital in which former military, CIA, FBI, Mossad heads are actually investing in artificial intelligence powered technologies. And what is in their portfolio is the NanoPass technology. I always tell people, it's like, look at the symbolism. So you have the triad, which is the symbol of the divine human, and you have a keyhole here. They have the keys to hack the human. And so who are these people? So first of all, you see the Internet of Bodies here, and you have like Jaron Ashkenazi is connected with Israeli Mossad, a former MI5 director, former CIA director, former director of the Mossad, former FBI associate deputy director. Why would you want these people to be in charge of nanopath? Nanopath is a technology that is FDA approved, and what it is a revolutionized intradermal delivery with ground-making microjet production platform. What does it use? It uses MEMS, micro electromechanical systems, aka known as microchips, another word is smart dust, biosensors, that are meticulously designed to optimize product delivery as well as therapeutic and for a therapeutic anesthetic procedure specifically for vaccine delivery. So you have people from the intelligence community that are all about surveillance and they are investing in our health. And here is Ido Balanchet, who said, in this one syringe, there is 1,000 billion robots.
The Inspire Health podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We, of course, many scientists around the world have found metals and other elements that can be used for semiconductor technology. For example, these lanthanides that are paramagnetic, they're fluorescent. And so all of this is part of it. And, I've shown the Pfizer-BioNTech a solution before, and you can see here what it looks like. But this is just a little bit again about the background. You've asked me about the measles vaccine, and I've looked at these different shots, and what I can say is that I've seen very similar features in many of these injectables. So here you see the measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella vaccine. So number one, these are self-assembling nanoparticles that shed, okay? So you can spread measles by just vaccinating. That's a well-known and very well-documented phenomena. Shedding spreads these things. But what you can see is that the same kind of blinking little tiny particles are in this solution, and then if observed, they build the same larger hydrogel-like structures, and very much also similar condensation. You see how all of this material is coagulating to build these larger microchips. And so this is then eventually what we see in the vials, and then also in the blood, these polymer filaments that show up in the blood everywhere. So I think that people need to be aware that any of the injectables now do have microelectronics in them.
Dr. Anna, do you think these are, were you ever able to get like an older MMR vaccine or something to check it out compared to more recent ones? I don't know if you can even find them, but I'd be curious to see if that's been going on for a long time, or if this is sort of the newer ones. Like I'm thinking when I was a kid and I got vaccinated for those things, just my parents probably not knowing any different, if that was going on in me at that time, or if this is more just these more recent ones.
I think that a lot of it was going on because if you look at the 2017 paper by nanopathologist Antonietta Gatti, who did the investigation on 44 different childhood vaccination and found in all of them these nanoparticles of metals from steel, tungsten, aluminum, mercury, I mean, name it. Every single injection had these metals. And what I understood is that the entire transhumanistic, agenda, it started more than 30 years ago. We've been sprayed via geoengineering with these toxic metals, polymers, as well as graphene for a long time, and the body has been saturated. And then you had pockets of humans, like the targeted individuals, in which these things then self-assembled into microchips, and they started to be targeted, to be tortured. Some of them have been tortured for 30 years, and we have evidence of these microchips that were implanted, that were tracked, and that they are absolutely being accessed via satellites, for example. And so I can show a little bit about that. Let me just kind of maybe get into that one second. One of the aspects to understand is that as challenging it is to comprehend, but that this has been planned for a long time. So if I just show you from this slide, one second. Okay. If you look at this right here is a Pfizer-BioNTech solution, and it is 6 days left on the slide. You still see the extreme activity of robots. And then you see this kind of formation, which is a polymer chip, and you see how the nanobots are still self-assembling it. Now, in larger magnification, again, here you see the swarming, you see that different pieces of technology are being brought in to become part of this. Here's these microchip metal-like appearing object. But just keep this thing in mind that is still in the process of being assembled. And now look at this. This is a microchip that was extracted from a targeted individual in 2018. This is an individual in their 60s, has been subject to electronic harassment since 1993, including voice to skull, all kinds of torture, sexual stimulation, stabbing pains, feeling getting pain in the head like being boxed, involuntary muscle twitches, bone pain, etc. So this is also another a chip that it was that came out of the skin of this individual. Here's another one. You see certain nanowires in there. And this was then analyzed via scanning electron microscopy and mass spectroscopy. And its chemical composition contains, molecules like obviously carbon, oxygen, sodium, magnesium, aluminum, silica, and then you have iron and calcium. And so then the further chemical analysis, it shows a mixture of starch, and in fact, starch is one of the components of these microchips. So we eat starch in our food, and it starts to build these chips within the system, and an animal protein, as well as aluminum and silica with an iron. So these become then conductive and create quantum waveguides. And so you can do these scans that are nonlinear junction detector and spectrum radio frequency spectrum analyzer, and they show up these frequencies that are very specific to the individual. And also what you can see is that there were multiple implants found with corrosive metals in the behind the ear and the back of the neck, the left side of the head, the cheek. So you usually find many of these implants that then develop develop in the tissue. And one of these implants has up to 132 channels. So you see on the internet all these people who are just trying to jam, you know, the frequencies. They don't understand this. You jam one channel and it just jumps to the next. So this is very sophisticated equipment and technology. And the SCADA frequency, so you can allocate, you know, what is accessing that chip. And then through the Federal Communications Commission, you can look at these frequencies band range, and it goes to tropospheric scatter systems. These go to satellites in different countries. You know, I've seen, for example, tracking that goes to CIA spy planes. And I mean, it sounds like a James Bond movie, but it is for real. And so I think that what's important, you know, the conclusion is that these are microchips that are sensory system for the terahertz ranges, and then near infrared spectrum applications. Why? Because near infrared lasers have ability similar like radio frequencies to transmit enormous amount of data. And so this is a link to the D-Wave quantum computing system, for example. So I, you know, here you see unvaccinated blood, and this is one of the chips that developed in it. And you can see that there is an absolute commonality. I work closely with Dr. Hildegard Sterninger, and we both conclude that these are absolutely the same and that they have the same function. You know, this, remember what I saw in the Pfizer COVID vials, and then here, this is unvaccinated blood. You see the microchips in here. Here are all these nanorobots are are building this chip also from this micellar construction zone, and all of this blood is being harvested to provide the energy to create this. So this is the chip from the targeted individual. This is an unvaccinated chip. So you know, and the other aspect of it is, you know, I looked at the skin. The fluorescent skin emission, this is a vaccinated individual. So the vaccinated people under UV light, they start glowing because the fluorescent microchips, they come out of the skin pores. And what you also see is the Eye of Horus sign. So this is here and here. And this was found also through aerial spraying and vaccination. This is how they access the limbic system for mind control. But I have looked at this. This is a nose of an unvaccinated person under UV light. You see that the pores are glowing orange. I took one of those chips, which is this right here, and looked at it on the microscope. You can see that it has the same nanowires as the chips of the targeted individuals. And this is the chip of the targeted individuals. I mean, there's, you see the same, you know, kind of construction zones, and you see the wires within it. And this stuff can be accessed, again, via satellite radio frequencies. You know, the amount of evidence that, you know, I've put together, I've written almost 1,000 articles now to date. And you know, the fact that people are still in this stupor and I don't want to believe it, even though, you know, the military literature is saying it, the presidential budget for nanotechnology is saying, you know, this that the COVID shots were the greatest achievement of nanotechnology initiative. It's very challenging. And my thought about that is that people are already so brain controlled and mind controlled that there's certain information that just doesn't compute. And I know you asked me about the Replicon vaccine. If you let me, I'll show you just a couple more things about that, because this is really one of the greatest biological weapons. And to me, this stuff is obviously absolutely demonic. And so, you know, we had Japan who discussed releasing the first self-replicating COVID vaccine in November 2023. The European Union just did it a few months ago. But if you look at the biotechnology literature, you see here the rise of RNA machines, self-amplification and mRNA vaccine design. So what people do not understand is that the replicons can be a virus-like particle or non-viral vehicles like the liposomes and the lipid nanoparticles themselves are part of the replication machine. That's exactly what I've been seeing already, for a long time with my research on the shots and what I see in the blood. And so what you see here, this is a virus-like replicon particle, and then you have the liposomes, lipid nanoparticles, and then you can have many structures within that. And again, that's exactly what I've been seeing. This is the Moderna patent from 2020, and it says the polymer-based self-assembled nanoparticles maybe fully programmable nanoparticles. And fully programmable means it's a fully computerized system. And this is what it looks like. So you have a lipid-based molecular robots. The inside is the computer system. It has sensors on the outside, an actuator here. And these are the smallest computers that exists. But their computing power is extraordinary. So in 2013, these nano computers had the computing power of a Commodore 64 computer, which was already pretty significant. So what can they do here? There are two states, for example, in the automata, it can run up to 109 transitions per second in input responsive manner, being the prototype of the smallest biocomputer as certified by the Guinness World of Records.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And what can it do? It's capable of self-assembling into tissue-like structures. So it replaces your own tissue and it kind of fuses with your own cells. And it can create membranes that can disassemble and reassemble in response to a chemical stimuli or other stimuli. It can release cargo, can be triggered by light, temperature fluctuations, magnetic fields, or biomarkers. So these vesicles can be multi-layered tissue like biohybrid compartments. And so this is what the COVID BioNTech vial looks like in the syringe. Okay, so you see here these liposomes. Under the microscope, I actually see the nanoparticles blinking in it. But this is I put a slide cover over it, one of those bubbles, and you see how many billions of nanoparticles are swarming in one of these, delivery systems that's fully computerized. We already have this stuff, and now the aspect of the danger is in the military literature clearly discusses that these self-replicating machines that we here we see how the machines have spilled their innards to build the filaments. Here you see different forms of self-replication. This is unvaccinated blood. Everyone's blood is just loaded with this stuff, and then it harvests the blood, creates the rubbery clots, and it basically is exactly what they're describing. This is a biotechnologist from Costa Rica who took a shot of the Moderna vaccine. I mean, look at this machine here that is communicating between the two liposomes. And I just want to remind people that, I looked at embalmed blood of somebody who had been dead for 8 months and it was still replicating. So what I'm trying to say here is that these people are, I call them insane, demented, satanic, whatever you want. We must put a moratorium on replicon vaccines. There is what's called the Grey Goose scenario, where basically these machines self-replicate and they use up all biomass on Earth, and it would create an extinction-level event that they are aware of. So I think that people need to become way more vocal to, number one, get this addressed even by governments. For example, the Trump administration is still pushing mRNA and AI development and all of this stuff. We cannot inject this into our children. We cannot take another shot. There has to be a moratorium on all of this. And then there needs to be justice. There needs to be investigation for crimes against humanity, because this has been deployed without consent. It's against the Nuremberg mandate.
Yeah, and that's been kind of trampled on over the last several years. When is it too much? It seems like at this point, literally, I don't know where you could be where you wouldn't have any of this nanotechnology in your body on some level, whether you've had shots or not had shots or however long this has been going. Like, how much do they need before they have more and more, say, control over your body or the way you're thinking to a degree that it's less you and more nanotechnology? Because it just seems like they keep pushing. There just seems more and more, and it seems like you're seeing it in everybody already. So it's like, is there a tipping point you're thinking where it's just the more the easier? Does it wear off? Does it disappear? Does it just keep on building up more and more and more until we become less organic and more synthetic? Like, what's the
Let me show you this article, which, when I saw that, I was like, oh my God. So what it says is that there was a paper published initially in September 2024. They published a paper about the amount of microplastics in the human olfactory bulb, which, by the way, has been shown to be the entry site to the brain. And there is a great correlation between Alzheimer's, dementia, and the loss of smell. And as you know, the IQ of, for example, the US population has dropped by over 10 points just within the last few years. So the brain is being highly targeted. And in this article, it discusses that they looked at the microplastics in human brains between 2016 and 2024. And even then before that, it was from 1997 to 2013, they did have samples. And what they found was that microplastic levels in the brain have grown roughly 50% over the last 8 years. What I would say is they've grown, in the last 3 to 4 years. And the reason why this is important is that these microplastics, you cannot get them out of the brain. So here's the article about microplastics in the olfactory bulb. And here's another article that discusses the microplastics that were found during cardiac surgery. Nine types of microplastics, as large as 469 micrometers, which is what we see under the microscope. And it was in all areas of the cardiac tissue. And what I always tell people, it's like, look, this isn't because there are so many plastics in the environment, but if the same chemicals are found in high mountains in the snowpack, you know that this is also being sprayed via geoengineering. We know that the polymers are in there. But then also, what happened? Well, people got the shot. And what does the Moderna patent says? Lipid nanoparticle composition and the methods of formulating Moderna. And it says that there are stealth nanoparticles within this. And what are the chemical composition? Polyethylene, polyamides, which is nylon silk and spider silk. Then they have polyvinyl alcohols, which is plastic, polyurethane, styrofoam, metacrylates is super glue. So this stuff is in the lipid nanoparticles. And so people got the shots and they were plasticized because it's the hydrogels within the shots, as well as what we're inhaling, that are part of the brain-computer interface. And so my concern is what we're already seeing in my clinic. I see turbo cancers in the unvaccinated. I see unprecedented, cognitive decline. You have young people in their 30s and 40s that complain about brain fog. What the heck is brain fog? We never talked about brain fog, okay? I do functional brain EEG, and the functional brain age literally, you have 40 years and they're like 97 years old. Why? Because their voltage in the hippocampus is like at 0.5 when normal is from 7 to 18 microvolts. And so what this is indicating is this, that the technology has gone into the brain. I've absolutely seen that. And that at least functionally, people are neurologically being attacked. That's again consistent with all of the literature in terms of the warfare aspect, that the mind is the battlefield of the future, which is right now. And that by cognitively making people dumber and dumber, they're actually endeavoring to promote the aspect of, okay, if you want to participate in the society of the future where artificial intelligence is reaching the singularity and you still want to be cognitively with it, you are going to take that brain chip that's going to make you smarter, right? I think that we're at a critical point, I think the urgency is so huge. I don't really know what the future brings because I had great hopes for the Trump administration, but they're not talking about this, okay? And if you're still saying, okay, we should give the measles vaccine or develop this next cancer mRNA AI vaccine, without acknowledging that there was a genocidal weapon that has been rolled out through warp speed, we're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, it's and I get where people get overwhelmed with it. I know when I've had this conversation, I start to talk about what the work you've shared and what I've come across, and I just kind of see a bit of a glaze, and then the conversation just goes to something else. It's like it just hits a point where I don't think they can process. And I find sort of two things, because I sit there sometimes like, how are people still just moving along with the same sort of patterns? And there's this combination between, I think, people just shut off. Like I literally feel like it's overwhelming. They either it's still too far outside of what they believe could be possible, or they would be like, well, why? Because they don't think like a sociopath, so then they can't actually grasp why somebody might want to do this for control or domination. And then I see the other part where people are kind of excited about it. And this was the part that we talked about with Greg Braden. He said, we're this close to completely giving away our divinity before we even understand the gift that we've been given. And so we're almost, in some ways, people get even excited. Like Sweden's pretty far ahead in a lot of this stuff. And there's a commercial where a fellow literally gets up and he's talking about how free he's the most free he's ever felt in his life. And he wakes up and he turns his coffee machine on remotely. He starts his car remotely. He can take things out of the vending machine without having to use any cards or anything like this. And he's got like about 10 different microchips or something like that set up where he can do all these different things. And it's got this nice, relaxing, peaceful music. And, it sounds like this utopia. And I think when people don't have a connection to their own divinity, I feel like it's just easy to give this stuff away and thinking that this is something that is so much more superior than what the organic human body is capable of. And where do you feel around that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. So we have to also understand that, again, the mind control aspect is so far advanced because the geoengineering is also the ionospheric and stratospheric injection. Then we have the manipulation of the magnetosphere. We have the fact that the Schumann resonance being altered. So that is in line alignment with our the alpha brain waves that we have. So when we lose the vibratory connection to this earth, then our overall functioning and health is completely impaired, and they're intentionally changing these frequencies so that ultimately the only beings that can survive in this total artificial biosynthetic environment are the augmented human and not the natural ones. And you know, I was recently in a conference where Nicole Shanahan was also part of. She was the former VP running candidate with Robert F. Kennedy, and she was saying, you know, what she's fighting for is colonies of natural human that will live like the Amish, so basically totally, you know, backwards in time, and who, you know, the best we can hope for is at least have the freedom to live like that. But the problem is that, you know, the geoengineering, you know, there isn't a wall in the air that will somehow protect us from it, or the self-spreading vaccines that they want to deploy. They want to give, you know, the, if you look at the WHO and UN mandate, 500 vaccines per person per lifetime to be able to continuously upgrade the software within the body, then, you know, the natural human doesn't have much of a chance. So in my mind, number one, this isn't going to work because our biological system and ecosystem will collapse and go into an extinction level event. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, the risk of them hijacking the soul, which is what Robert Duncan discussed, that the CIA already has these capabilities. When AI is programming your thinking, then you no longer have free will and you are basically owned by this AI demiurge. So I think that for those of us who are still natural humans who are able to consider the implications. Number one, our spiritual evolution should be top tier because Robert Duncan even said, you know, they cannot hack an enlightened mind. If you have to know your own thoughts from your own divinity that are living the truth to be able to stop all of the electronic interference that they're messing with everybody with. But the other aspect is then, you know, to be as vocal as we can and to, I mean, to get on our knees and pray for divine intervention. That's what I do because, you know, I look at all this stuff and the only thing I can do is I get on my knees and I pray.
And Dr. Anna, you are part of that divine intervention, I think, even when people are praying. This is part of what those prayers, I think, get answered by people that are doing the kind of work like this to be able to share it and get people to be more aware of it. I have a couple of questions, if we're okay here for just a moment. You had mentioned seeing voltage drop in the hippocampus. I'm just wondering, how are you specifically measuring the voltage in the hippocampus, or what do you use to be able to measure voltage?
So I have a technology, it's called the Wavi Brain EEG. It's a functional test that you can use for, you know, to track things like traumatic brain injury, and it's not necessarily, it's a great screening tool. And you know, what I've seen, because I've been using this for quite a long time, is definitely a substantial worsening in just the amount of people who are coming in who are complaining about brain fog. You can see pretty significant abnormalities, and then you can intervene. You know, I do a lot of IV therapy. You know, we do the EDT chelation, the vitamin C, but many other molecules, like I do resveratrol, EGCG, you know, intravenously, and use many molecules orally, and then what you see is that the voltage significantly improves, and obviously the symptomatology does improve. So those are it's a way to actually grasp or quantify what's physically going on with people because they go to a regular neurologist or their primary care doctor or they get an MRI scan and they can't see anything. They say, "Oh, you're fine." No, they're not fine. You know, you have to do functional testing to be able to see the impact.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And then how are you incorporating things like electricity, light, sound to repair and restore cells in the body? I know a lot of work I've done over the past decade and bit has been a lot of work around Dr. Jerry Tennant and healing his voltage and incorporating a lot of those principles. And I find they make a lot of sense. Even when I think about things through my osteopathic background, it's like even looking at the meridians and the fascial chains and how all of these things kind of relate to different muscle batteries and whatnot. How are you? What are some of the work that you're doing to support it using some of those types of techniques?
Yeah, so I mean, I've written in my book, I personally own a blue room, which is very sacred geometry and UV light therapy, and there's a lot of people who are using that. I have people, I have an EE system that I don't own, but it's about a mile from my office. So people use Kaler technology. I have the Dr. Tennant's technology in my office. So, we do the voltage reset, and then really making sure that if the voltage has flipped, that we're correcting it so the batteries can hold the charge within the system.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.